you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of 2 Peter. The great thing about 2 Peter comes after 1 Peter. So 2 Peter chapter 1. It's near the back. Check 2 Peter chapter 1. Today, you see, we've got a little bit of a different set. And the reason we have a different set is because we start Vacation Bible School on Monday. And the theme of Vacation Bible School is power up. And we're talking about like power up and to raise your game. And the verse is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. But what I want us to do today is I want us to look at two of the verses, verses 3 and verses 4. But with the theme that we have, it's built sort of around like video game themes and even like Mario. And if any of you play Mario, Super Mario, Mario Tennis, Mario Go-Kart, Mario 8000 version, whatever. There's all kind of Mario things out there. And what you discover in that game is there are opportunities for you to power up. And it may be that you eat a mega mushroom and all of a sudden you get real big and you're able to mow over a bunch of people. Or maybe you catch this bouncing star and you're invincible for just a short while, but then you've also increased your speed along the way. Or your go-kart slides over and it hits one of these question blocks and all of a sudden you've got a turtle shell that you have that you can sling to someone else. Or maybe it's a banana peel that you get to throw out on the track. Or maybe there's other things that are hidden out there that'll give you turbo speed, but everything that you get is to allow you to play the game better and for you to do better and then hopefully even to win the race. And so you look for those opportunities to power up because that will help you to raise your game. And life is very similar, and that as we walk through this life, we look for some things so that we can power up, so that we can raise our game, so that we can live a life that's got purpose and meaning, so that we can live a life to where we can strengthen the relationships that we have. And we're always looking for something that can help us to power up, to be able to make it through some of the obstacles and the difficulties that come in life. And so it's just part of life. And the challenge is for us to be able to power up and then to raise our game. Well, in 2 Peter, he's writing to a group of people that are dealing with some false teachers, and he's giving them some great thoughts to help them to power up and to raise their game in the midst of even in this false teaching. And so it's verses 3 and 4. It's actually one really long sentence. So the English teachers were kind of cringe when you read this, but this is the way he wrote it, and let's read it. So Peter writing, first chapter, verses 3 and 4. He says, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire." I want you to look at this verse. Look at the very beginning of it. His divine power. He's talking about Jesus. And he talks about Jesus's power. He says, his divine. That means that he is deity. Power. The Greek word is the word dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite. And so it says, his divine power has been granted to us. That word granted is a word that means it's something handed down from royalty, and it's something that's been generously given. So if you have a divine power, you've got Jesus himself, deity himself, has granted to us as royalty, he has generously given to us. What is it that he's given to us? He says he's granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things, everything that you need for life and for godliness. So when he says he's given you everything that you need for life, what is he talking about? Well, when they talk about life, he's talking about life that we live here on earth and also life through eternity. That he has done everything needed. He's met all the requirements of God to take care of life both here and for eternity. And so for us to power up and for us to be able to raise our game, I want you to think about four things today that are in this passage that will help each one of us. And the first one is foundational, and that is that Jesus, we are to receive Jesus and his resurrected power. We are to receive Jesus and his resurrected power. Whenever you think about power up, this is where you need to start. You need to start with the person of Jesus Christ and his resurrection power. God has, through Jesus, given us all the through Jesus has all the requirements for our salvation. Let me explain it this way. Every one of us, we have sinned. And because we've done things that are wrong, we are separated from a holy God. And because there's a separation from a holy God, God, in his love for us, wants to be able to redeem us, to bring us into this right relationship with him. But in order to do that, in order for there to be the sacrifice made, there has to be the morally perfect individual for this to happen. There has to be someone in whom there is no sin in their life. Nothing that they've done is wrong. And Jesus fulfilled every one of those requirements. He lived a life and there was no sin. And because he lived that life of no sin, then when he went to the cross, he died on the cross and he paid the penalty for our sins. And when he paid the penalty for our sins, he covered our sins. They put him in a tomb, and then 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. And so when God raised him from the dead, it was a confirmation that that sacrifice had been accepted and that it was correct and it was right. And so when you look in the scripture, and he says at the end of verse 3, and he says, the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. He called us to his own glory and excellence. That word excellence means virtue and goodness. It is because of Jesus' goodness, his excellence, his virtue. Because of that, he was able to be the sacrifice for our sins. The cross and the resurrection met all of God's requirements for salvation. And so for you to power up and to raise your game, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And as you receive him as your Savior, you begin to get that resurrection power. It's what Abby had talked about earlier when she was talking about this verse, that we get that resurrection power in our lives. And so just to start out in my life, if I'm going to power up and I'm going to raise my game, it starts off about receiving Jesus and his resurrection power. Every one of us is in the game. We're all in the game. But without Jesus, you do not have enough power to complete the race, much less win the race. You don't have enough power to cover the mistakes and the sins in your life. Without Jesus, you don't have enough power to overcome the obstacles or the setbacks that will come your way. And even when you think that you're closing in on the finish with victory in sight, you'll come face to face with the reality that you have been misled and you're not even on the right track. I remember hearing a speaker many years ago talking about he was setting up his career path and he wanted to climb that career ladder. And he said, I climbed the career ladder and I got to the top of that career ladder and I accomplished everything I wanted to in my career. And once I did, I looked around and realized that my ladder was leaning against the wrong wall. He said, because I had accomplished things in my career, but in the meantime, I'd lost my family, I'd lost my relationships, and I'd lost my health. And I realized I was completely heading in the wrong direction. You see, without Jesus as our resurrection power, we can get off track and get in the wrong way. And Jesus even talked about Sermon on the Mount when he says, listen, there's two gates, there's a narrow gate and there's a wide gate. And he says, there's a wide gate, and a lot of people are going to take that. It's an easy road to take, but it leads to destruction. He said, but there's a narrow gate, and fewer people will take it. And it's a harder gate. And as you go through that gate, guess where it leads to? Life. And he says, I have given you everything that you need pertaining to life. He has paid the penalty for us. He has done all the requirements necessary for us to come into a right relationship with God. And so for us to have a meaningful life here on earth and then to spend eternity with God in heaven, Jesus has covered all those bases. The very first thing is you receive Jesus as your Savior. And he says, and that resurrection power, you start powering up. Well, you power up. But the second thing is that you want to raise your game with godliness. How do you raise your game? You raise your game with godliness. He said in verse 3, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us everything that we need for life, okay, eternal life, and godliness. If he's given me everything I need for godliness, apparently it's pretty important. So what is godliness? Godliness, two things, attitude and actions. Attitude of reverence in the presence of God. an attitude of reverence in the presence of God. And then the second is actions of obedience. Actions of obedience. Being obedient to the things that God says in His Word. And so I have an attitude of reverence, and then also have an action of obedience that is godliness. And when I'm beginning to obey Him, then my life begins to display things such as virtues and decency and honesty and truth and self-control and kindness and love for others and a love for God. All of these are just a part of who I am because of the godliness. And so I'm obeying what He has said. I've got reverential attitude toward who God is. And so to give you some basis for this on godliness, let me give you two things here. First thing that you need to understand is that you are no longer a slave to sin. You are no longer a slave to sin. Now, there is a lie that has been perpetrated in all of us that says that, man, we're just a slave to sin. We're not a slave to sin. Romans 6:6-7, Jesus makes this very clear. Look what He says. He says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless." The body that was ruled by sin is now powerless. And what does that mean? "So that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since a person who has died is freed from sin." He says, your old self, you've been crucified with Christ. You have died. And because you've died, you're freed from sin. You are not enslaved to sin. Now, before Jesus, you were a slave to your sinful nature. You were a slave to your sinful nature. But your old self was crucified, and thus you're no longer a slave to sin. But you still have a tendency to sin because we still live in these fleshly bodies. And because we still live in these fleshly bodies, temptation is there and we will have a tendency to sin. But you are no longer a slave to sin. Jesus' resurrection power has made sin powerless. Sin does not enslave you or control you unless you allow it. Sin does not enslave you or control you unless you allow it. And without the power of Christ, sin will enslave you. But once Christ is in your heart, and once you have the resurrection power, then it's your choice of whether you allow that sin to enslave you or not. God has made a provision for you to live a life of godliness. And that's for the second one, and that is that godliness is a choice. Godliness is a choice. You're no longer a slave to sin. Okay, if I'm no longer enslaved to sin, then can I have, I'd love to have godliness. I'd love to have that attitude of reverence. I'd love to have those actions of obedience. So what is it? It's your choice. It's your choice. Yes, God has made a provision, given you the power to live a life of godliness by His Son dying on the cross, raised from the dead. But He's also given you and me definite responsibilities. You see, godliness is not a gift that you receive. Whenever you make your decision to receive Christ as Savior, you receive something called justification, okay? So just stay with me. Justification. Justification, easiest way I know to say it is just as if I'd never sinned. I'm a sinner over here. I've made a decision to receive Christ. The way God looks at me is, Danny, it's just as if you've never sinned. It's justification. All of a sudden, I can come in the presence of God. It's like He gave me my justification card, but He doesn't give me a godliness card. It's nothing that just gets handed to us. It's not like, hey, I've become a Christian now, so I'm going to be a godly person. No, He's given everything you need for godliness, but it is your choice as to whether you're going to live a life of godliness or not. You can either remain a slave to sin, or you can choose godliness. And that's every one of our choices. We get to make that. And God's given you everything you need to live a life of godliness, which would entail an attitude of reverence, an action of obedience. He's laid it right up there for you. But you get to make the choice, and I get to make the choice on that. But I want you to keep in mind, there is no fast pass to godliness. There's no three-day wonder-working workshop that you can do. There's no $29.99, call me now, and if you call me in the next 30 minutes, I can get it to you for $19.99, godliness. And if you call now, I'll throw in holiness too. You know, it's nothing like that. It's nothing just real quick, real easy. It's something that takes work. It takes work. It takes time for there to be sanctification, for there to be transformation. And so how do you do this? Well, look what Peter said. Peter says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Very next statement. Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Through the knowledge of him. Number one, when it talks about godliness being a choice, you need to grow in the knowledge of Jesus. You need to grow in the knowledge of Jesus. This is exactly what he says here. Through the knowledge of him. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus. That means reading God's word. It means praying. It means walking and growing in intimacy with your walk with Christ. You grow in your knowledge of Christ. You want to become more like him. Second of all is this, train yourself for godliness. Train yourself for godliness. Paul is writing to a young pastor, Timothy, and in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, look what he says. He just lays it right out, and he says, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. There is physical training, and he says there's training for godliness. Now, physical training, everybody knows that takes discipline, and it takes time. And if you're trying to get in shape, trying to stay in shape, whatever, it's hard work. And the older you get, the harder it is. But it's hard work. And you're trying to do this physical training so I can stay in shape. And he says, that's good, but has nothing in compared to training in godliness. And so just as it takes time and discipline to train physically for something, it also takes that for godliness. But it's a choice. It's just like a choice as you say, hey, do you want to get yourself in better physical condition? It's your choice. Nobody's going to force you to do it. You're going to work out or you're not going to work out. You're going to change diet or you're not going to change. It's your call. It's your choice. Same thing it is with godliness. Do you want godliness? It's your choice. Do you want to do the discipline? Do you want to gain in your knowledge of Jesus? Do you want to spend more time with him? It is your choice on godliness. So when I sit there and say, okay, but it's my choice, does it just mean it's all me that has to do this? No. Good news is the third point, and that is this. Jesus provides power for godliness. Jesus provides power for godliness. In verse 4, look what he says, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. Listen, he's giving you everything you need for godliness, and let me tell you what he's given you. He has given you precious promises. So the very first thing is the precious promises that he has given you. Now, I love this word, precious, okay? Precious kind of stays with me because it's what I used for Lauren when she was born. And so when our daughter was born, it seemed like every time I'd hold her, anything she'd do, I'd look at Jan and say, oh, isn't she precious? I said, she's so precious over there. And just on and on. And then she'd go do something, and we'd talk about it, and look at her, oh, she's precious, you know? And Jan was kind of getting sick of it personally, but, you know, it was precious. And she said, yeah, she is precious. And then all of a sudden she'd do a stinker thing. And I go, oh, I know she did a stinker thing, but isn't she precious? And Janice would correct me and say, no, she's not precious. She's acting like her father, okay? And I said, well, you're true. That is true on that. But isn't it precious over there? Well, Peter loves this word because you read 1 Peter and 2 Peter, he uses precious different times. But one of the things he talks about is the precious blood of Jesus in 1 Peter 1:19. He talks about the precious blood of Jesus. And he says, it was our ransom. Which what that means is we were captured in sin. We were captured in sin, and we had a death sentence on us. That we were going to die and spend eternity in hell separated from God. And what God did was he said, I'm going to pay a ransom to get you out of that. And the ransom was the precious blood of his son Jesus. And so when he shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sins, Peter calls it the precious blood. Never has more precious blood ever been spilt than that of Jesus Christ to cover our sins. But he takes that same word precious and he calls the promises that God gives us to be precious also. He's given us precious promises. There's a number of things throughout Scripture where Jesus would promise this or that, but the two biggest ones that we'd focus on, he promises the Holy Spirit, and he promises that one day he will return. The Holy Spirit and Jesus's return. Now, when he promises us the Holy Spirit, that means the Spirit of God comes to live within us. And when the Spirit of God comes to live within us, he gives us the power to be able to live a life of godliness. So you've got the power in you to live that life of godliness. But then he also gave you a second promise, and that is, one day I'm coming back. That is the power of hope. The power of hope. That no matter how difficult things get here, no matter how many setbacks I get, no matter how many trip-ups are happening, or no matter what happens in our nation or in our economy or in the health reports that I get, no matter what's going on, just when I'm getting ready to feel like I got to cash all my chips in and I'm all depressed and I'm upset, I can stop and say, hey, he's coming back. And when he's coming back, that means he's already victorious. That's why he's coming back. He's just coming back just to kind of wrap everything up and let everybody know he's already won the battle. So me having that hope keeps me moving forward. So he gives me the promise, this precious promise of the Holy Spirit, to power me up to live the life that I need to live. And he gives me this incredible hope, this power of hope, to know that one day he is coming back. And he says, I've given you these precious promises, everything to help you live this life of godliness. You see, for us, we live in between the two comings of Jesus. The first coming 2,000 years ago, he came to give us salvation and for us to come into a right relationship with God. And then one day, he's coming back, and we live right in the in-between over there. And so we take the promises that God has given us, and with that power, we live a life of godliness, awaiting one day when he comes back, okay? But the second thing, he gives us the opportunity to partake in divine nature. Partaking in divine nature. He says that through them, through these promises, you may become partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of divine nature. Don't walk out here and say, hey, I get to be God. It's not at all. Partakers of the divine nature. It means the more that we are living according to God's word, and the more we're spending time with him, we begin to develop the character of God. It is like partaking of the divine nature. We become people who are living and showing the character of God. You see, anytime we hang around with someone for a long time, we begin to act more like them. And what he's saying here is, I want you to spend more time with God. As you spend more time with him, you'll be acting more like him. And as you're acting more like him, this is what godliness is. And so a statement that is universally true is that nature determines appetite. Nature determines appetite. If you have a sinful, carnal nature, the appetite to be satisfied is you will look for things that will be feeding that sinful, carnal nature that you have. However, if you have a nature that is of the divine nature, a nature that is more wanting to serve God, you will have an appetite for the things that are pure and the things that are holy. Does that make sense? And so he says, we're partakers of the divine nature on there. And we should have an appetite for the things of God, the things that are pure and the things that are holy. And so if you take these and just kind of take the progression, you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And says, once he comes into your life, you've got resurrection power in there. You're powering up. And if I want to raise my game, I just don't want to be living like this. I want to be living like this. How do you raise your game? You add godliness to that. And in, with godliness, it means I want to have a greater knowledge of who Jesus is, and I want to be able to train for godliness, and I want that to be a part of what my life is all about, and I want to have that godliness. And it's not just me, because I look back over, and guess what Jesus says? Danny, I've given you everything that you need for that. Guess what I've given you? I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. I'm giving you the hope of the fact that I'm coming back again. You live that life regardless. And when you do that, the fourth and final thing is you power up to victory over sin. Then you power up to victory over sin. It's just like when you're going on a video game, you hit one of those power-up things, all of a sudden, boom, it lets you jump over somebody, lets you knock over someone. You take sin right here, and the big mushroom just knocks him over, all right? Whatever it is, it means that whatever, if it's a blue shell, red shell, whatever's coming at you, banana peel, you can overcome those things. He says you power up. How do you know that? Well, at the very end of verse 4, this is what he says. He says that you have become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. You are escaping the corruption of this world. You're escaping the moral decay of this world. You're escaping the things, those sinful desires, because you're living a life of godliness. And because of that, you've got a victory over sin. You have powered up and you've raised your game. And so you have got a victory over sin. Now, the thing that sat with me for these weeks that I've looked at this verse is the very beginning of verse 3. He says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Let's break those in half. He's given us all things that pertain to life. That's eternal life. Now, I think everyone, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I believe everybody here would agree that Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead has satisfied the requirements of God, and he has done all things, everything that needs to be done for me to have eternal life. There's nothing I can add to it. There's nothing Jesus plus, right? All right. I think we would all agree with that. And we'd look at that verse of Scripture and say, that's as true can be. I agree with that. Done all things pertaining to life. Okay, let's move life. And then let's take that same sentence and says, He has given us all things pertaining to godliness. Now, just as He's done everything that we need for life, has He done everything that we need? Has He provided us all the power that we've needed for godliness? And I doubt any of us would really raise our hands because we say, well, you know, godliness is not really a major part of my life. And then we began to make some excuses as to why it's not. And you see, the reason that we don't really think that we can say that about godliness is because we have to make a choice. When it comes to salvation, Jesus has paid it all. We need to make the choice. We make the choice to accept it, reject it, okay? But when it comes to godliness, that's a daily decision that we have to make. Do I want to be a godly person or not? Do I want to live a life of godliness is what he has talked about in Scripture. And sometimes we just want to do the work on it. But yet the verse says, he's given us all things that pertain to godliness. We live in a culture today where we try to excuse whenever we sin. And we'll say things such as, well, it's just my DNA. Yeah, this is who I am, you know. They've looked at my DNA, and they said, this is just who you are, so you'll always be that way, and you just never get over that situation. Sometimes we look at family origin, and we say, well, that's just the way you were raised, or that was the hand you were dealt, and so I will always struggle with this, and I'll never be able to do this. And you just put an acronym on any malady and use it as an excuse for ungodly living. Now, I'm not talking about social awkwardness, or I'm not talking about learning challenges on there. I'm talking about godliness. I'm talking about having an attitude of reverence for God and actions of obedience to God. Because there are things, I'm not trying to minimize anything when somebody's had something that's happened in their past or anything else, any unfortunate incidents that you've got to work through, and I pray with you and help you as you work through those things like that, but you cannot take that and hang on there, the fact that you cannot live a godly life because of that. You work through that, yes, I understand that. However, Jesus says, I have given you all things that pertain to godliness. I've given you all things that pertain to godliness. So when he says in Scripture, I give you all things, what does that mean? What does all mean? Does anybody know? All, thank you. Yes, yes. And this one over here said it's a detergent. No, no, no. It is all things. He says, I've given you all things. I've given everything that you need for godliness. And when you read this verse, and I've read it in a lot of translations, none of them have ever had a footnote or an addendum to it. None of them have come back and said, all things for godliness. Oh, read the footnote. Oh, flip back over here. Except for this thing, this thing, this thing, this thing, this thing. It's not listed there. It's not listed there. It is all things for godliness. So the question is, how do you see the divine power that Jesus has granted to you? And you got to ask your question, is Jesus' power more adequate for you to give you the resources that you need to defeat the forces that oppose you and for you to live a life of godliness? Is it adequate? Is it enough? If it says here in Scripture, he's given all things for godliness, his power, is the power strong enough? Well, I went online and I checked on cars, and I wanted to check on the horsepower of cars. So I did a search for what is the smallest horsepower of a 2019 car, and here it is. It is the 2019 Mitsubishi Mirage G4 ES 78 horsepower. Some of you have got some blowers that have got a leaf blower that's got more horsepower than that. 78 horsepower for the Mitsubishi Mirage. Well, that interested me, but then I said, well, let me check that the top 10 that have got the most horsepower. Well, the one that's got the most horsepower, pop that puppy up there. The 2019 Chevrolet Corvette ZR1 Coupe, 755 horsepower. That puppy will fly, won't it? Yeah. You got two of them there. There's some good ones on there. This is where we are. When someone asks you the question, does Jesus have enough power to help you to live a life of godliness? It's sad to say is that many of us stick with the Mitsubishi 2019. And we just think he's got like 78 horsepower and that's about it. What I'm encouraging you to do is go with what God's word says. And he says he's kind of more like the Chevrolet Corvette, the ZR1 that's got 755 horsepower. Get you where you want to go and get you there fast. Yeah, amen, amen. And that's the God that we serve. He's got 755 horsepower. He has got the resurrection power. So you can power up, you can raise your game, and live that life of godliness. Let us pray. Father, we are so thankful that we serve a God who you love us enough that you gave your Son for us to have salvation and a relationship with you. And also you love us enough to give us your Holy Spirit, to bring us the promises of your Spirit and the second coming of Christ, to give us the power that we need to live lives of godliness. And that when we live that life of godliness, it's pleasing you, it's being in a right relationship with you, and it's giving a life of purpose and meaning and helping us to overcome the obstacles and the difficulties and allowing us to power up and have victory over sin, all of these things you've given us. But again, you've kind of put that ball in our court for us to choose whether we want to pursue that or not. So it's my prayer that today that we kind of mark our card and say, you know what? I want to follow him. I want to power up. I want to raise my game. And I want to live a life of godliness. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.